filmmaker Astrid Avalos is here to talk about her film Road of Bygones that's set to be released on Amazon March 15th and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Astrid.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm happy to be talking to you.
Tell us about Road of Bygones.
Road of Bygones is my new movie. It's a lesbian drama. It's a dark comedy. And it's about these three women who go on a road trip to retrieve the ashes of their dead mother. One of the women is the sister of the other woman who is in a relationship with a young lady who's a submissive. So the movie is about DS relationship as well as about family drama. So there are two separate dynamics that happen in the movie. And the fun thing about the movie is that it all happens as cars going across the country, and they have no way out. They sort of have to deal with their differences and get to know each other, accept each other, forget the past. We use very dark humor, and of course, I work for the LGBTQ community, so it's an LGBTQ film, and that's what it is. It's just a fun ride.
What was your inspiration for creating it?
My main inspiration for creating it was actually the DS dynamic. My wife and I are in a DS relationship. For people who don't know, DS stands for dominant, and she's a submissive. That means we are consensually agreeing to being in a relationship with each other under the terms that I am a dominant and she's a submissive. So what happened was when I finished my last film, 2014, Camp Belvedere, we kind of blew up a little bit, and so we were sort of open with our lifestyle because I don't really like to be in the closet about anything. I'm very open about who I am and like to break barriers and be completely fine to share with the LGBTQ community that we were in a DS relationship, and we thought we would welcome pretty much everyone under the rainbow, as we like to say. But we actually were called a lot of names, especially from my wife. She's a submissive, and everybody sort of thought, what's wrong with this girl that she has these interests? So I wanted to make a movie that really portrayed the dynamic of a DS relationship. I'm not talking about a professional dominatrix where you rearrange with a client. I'm talking about something intimate, something that's long-term. And I think people who are in DS relationships know that it's difficult to find a place where you can see yourself, because what happens is in the media, they either make it kind of costumey, where you have the dominatrix always shouting, and there's always a slave who's wearing a gag, and or they're tied up somewhere. And very well be the case during play, but the difference is actually very pure in the sense that we communicate a lot. We're always checking in with each other. We're always talking about, was that okay? You know, do you still like this? Is this something that still makes you happy? Would you like to incorporate something new? Do you want to research this more? Is there something that you, for some reason, now hate? So I wanted to really talk about DS in the movie. My primary relationship was meant to be the relationship between the two sisters, because I really like foreign film, especially French film. And when I started writing this movie in 2014, I wanted to play with the camaraderie that Oriana and I have. We have an interesting dynamic when we're on camera, where we have this chemistry that we're not quite sure whether it's family, it's friendly, or it's romantic. So we did a scene together, and I found that when we played sisters, you know, there was just something there that was kind of like, what's that all about? And it was intriguing, and people who saw it was like, I guess should make a movie about this. And so I actually wrote the movie with that in mind. And then, of course, I wanted to make one of my lead characters a lesbian. So when I made her a lesbian, I decided to make it a DS couple, because I felt that that was needed. I think we need more representation for DS people. I mean, we need a lot of things, obviously. But, you know, I'm a filmmaker, and this is how I address issues, and this is my little two cents that I give to society, is what I can do with my art.
What do you hope to accomplish with this film?
Well, I hope to make people laugh. I really set out to make a dark comedy, and I just want to make people laugh. You know, talking about normalizing different styles of relationships, in this case, a DS relationship. And what I would like to do is, again, normalize DS, or at least people who are DS, if they watch the movie, I would like for them to feel like they're welcome. Because for a long time, I felt as though I didn't have a seat at the table of the LGBTQ community because I was kinky and I was different. And I felt that if I came out as a dom, it would label me as abusive or sick, or people would make assumptions about my past, my wife's past. So with this movie, I mean, I just want people to enjoy the movie because it is a fun movie. It has a lot of excitement. It has a lot of humor. It has a lot of laughter and tender moments with conversation. So that's what I want. I want people to laugh, go along for the ride, get to experience perhaps something that they haven't seen before, something different. I don't know. Maybe it'll spark an interest in something they haven't tried.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
Well, this is a big ask because sometimes I feel like I'm just one person, and that's because I am just one person. But I would like to accomplish a shift in LGBTQ film. Right now, because as a community, we lack so much funding, I would like to be able to get to a place where we're so creative and innovative, and we have networked with so many of our own people, finding artists and finding talented creators, and we're collaborative and so on. I would like to, for LGBTQ film, for it to become more than just a niche. So instead of us having to always find our own people, our own little group, I would like for the world to take us seriously, for the world to think of LGBTQ cinema as just excellent cinema. I would like for artists to be recognized, to be celebrated, in more than just little clips that you can find on YouTube. So because we don't have funding, and we're not likely to get funding anytime soon, at least not many of us, I think that you really have to think about being creative, about solving problems, about thinking outside the box. So with my work, that's what I would like to do. My priority is the community and the art. And I think that with the art, you would have better quality art, you would be respected, which in turn means that you would have visibility in the media, which means that maybe we would have less discrimination, less ignorance in the world.
How do you see our LGBTQ communities surviving the Trump administration as we head towards the November election?
It's very difficult for me not to be pessimistic about this, and I think a lot of us feel the same way from what I gather, my friends. I think we've gotten to a point where we don't really talk about it because we're all sort of depressed and we kind of go, well, what can we do except vote and donate here and there? We've always been survivors. We've come from having no rights, from having less than our rights, from the police raiding our bars and killing our people and transgendered people being called names and murdered and so on. It's difficult for me to talk about this because it's so personal. I think we're going to be fine because we have always been fine. Now, I don't just want to be fine, and I'm sure that everyone in the community doesn't just want to be fine. We want equality, and that's the end goal. I think we're going to survive this. We always do. I believe in democracy. I believe in the power of this country. I'm not from this country, and I choose to be in this country because I love this country. And I think we're going to make it. I think collectively we're going to rise above ignorance. We're going to rise above people who are selfish and people who only care about themselves. Unfortunately, we have to suffer. And, we haven't really had rights for that long. The people who were alive during the Stonewall riots are still alive today. So we do have to think of it in terms of evolution as well. But it hasn't been that long. And, of course, that's no excuse, but I think we're going to be fine because we're fighters. I think even when we're tired and exhausted and we're mourning and suffering, we still pull through and we still find ways to change legislation. We're so strong as a community. We have fighters. We're going to be okay. We always are.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
When you're a teenager, you feel like everything that's happening to you right now is the way it's going to be forever. Because the emotions that you're experiencing in that moment are so strong and they're new. And everything seems like the end of the world, or, your first love seems like it's going to be forever. And everything is just intense, extremely intense. So I would say picture yourself, your ideal self, in 10 years, when you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, when you're in your 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, and picture what you want. And every day, you do one thing to reach that goal, even one little thing, even if it's a tiny thing, to reach that goal. And that one thing that you do can really, really get you through. I've experienced that myself, and I wish I could, tell that to my younger self. I kind of grew up in the South, and it was difficult. I live in New York now, which is kind of a magic little bubble. So I don't see it as much. But when I was in the South, it was difficult to think of a better life for me as a gay woman. So I be resilient and don't forget that the world is very big and that people are very vast. And you can always go somewhere where you're wanted. If you're tired, you can always look for help. You can always ask for help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. Find your community. Find your gay center in your area and find a friend. Find a mentor. Find places that keep you alive. Sometimes for some people, it's very difficult. And I didn't have a difficult time coming out. My family's very accepting, but I have witnessed kids who grew up in religious families and things like that who just were not at all able to be themselves. But that's my advice. I mean, I don't like to give advice. I always say that I don't like to give advice. But if I do have to give advice, I would say pick one little thing that you can do for your vision of yourself in the future and every day, and that one little thing will get you through.
How can people get information about you and also for Road of Bygones?
The best way to get information about Road of Bygones is on the website, roadofbygones.com. I'm very active on social media, so you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter name is Astrid O, and I'm on Instagram as Recluse Astrid, as well as on Facebook, Recluse Astrid. I talk to all of my fans. I'm always in touch with everybody. So if you leave me a comment or a like or you send me a direct message or an email, 90% of the time, I will answer you. And the movie, right now, you can watch it on Vimeo. It will be on Amazon on March 15th. So if you're not very computer savvy, you can Google Road of Bygones, and I've made sure that everything is accessible. So either Google my name or Road of Bygones, and you will find everything right there.
What other projects are you working on?
I'm currently writing a feature film with my friend Kara Kilduff, and it's a post-apocalyptic lesbian drama, which has elements of fantasy in it. Now, I haven't discussed the plot with anyone, because we're still sort of really working on this huge project that we've taken on, but it's going to be something very different. My biggest hint will be that it will involve a lot of music creativity.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I really wish people would ask me how they can help donate to our films. We have a place where you can donate on our website, reclusefilm.com, and you can also go on roadofbygones.com, and from there you can go to reclusefilm.com, or you can send me an email if you're interested in donating. Everything we get from donations goes to filmmaking, 100%. So that's honestly my biggest question. I know it's kind of shameless, but it's definitely what I wish people would ask me more, is how can we help you make more movies?
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I do. There's a quote from Einstein: we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them. So that forces me to reframe the way I'm thinking about something. Even if the way I feel is terrible, the way I'm thinking about something can be changed. And so I can approach the problem from a different angle and maybe help myself get out of that situation faster. It means to me that we have to change the way we think. So if we got into a situation which we were thinking a certain way, what we have to do is reframe. That's what it means to me, is to take action, basically. Not to dwell on things, but to actually change the way you think about it, attack it from a different angle. Be creative. Be a creative. Be the creative person that you are. Problem solve.